expectation. One of the things that happens in the culture of expectation is that there is a continued flow of celebration. A continued flow of celebration. Even before something happens, we are celebrating the fact that God promised that it would happen and that it could happen. And so we just celebrate. And so there's something that I want you to do today, and then I want you to try to remember to do it next week. When I say, in a moment, I'm going to say, open your Bible. So don't open your Bibles yet, but I'm going to ask you to do something when I say, open your Bibles, okay? When I say, open your Bibles, what I want you to do is I want you to give God a shout of praise. Why? Because there is nothing more powerful in the universe than the living Word of God, the Word of power. And so when we open our Bibles together, we're getting ready to hear the living Word of life and power, and our lives are about to be changed as a result. Amen. And so next Sunday, when Pastor Tommy comes, I want you to kind of do this again with us, but we're going to just shock him. I'm telling you, it will shock Pastor Tommy. Now, if he hears the CD, he'll say, I knew about it, okay? But maybe we're not recording yet. I don't know. But if we celebrate the fact that we get to hear the life-changing Word of God, the Word of power, I'm telling you, he will feel so strong and encouraged. And I'm telling you, he'll deliver the Word with great force and anointing, I believe, as never, ever before. And so today's our test run, okay? When I say open your Bibles, don't only open your Bible, but give God a shout of praise in celebration for what he's about to do in your life through his Word. Are you ready? If you're ready, say, I'm ready. All right, that was almost strong enough. If you're ready, say, I'm ready. Okay, open your Bibles. Yes. To John chapter 16. All right, so that was our first test run. I want to do it one more time. Open your Bibles. Yeah. To John chapter 16. Okay? And as you're getting there, again, I'm going to talk about the culture of expectation. And I want to tell you that next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. Many, many Christians do not even know that, and because some Christians think that the word Pentecost represents a denomination. It's so much more than a denomination. So next Sunday is a Pentecost Sunday, and Pastor Tommy is well prepared already to minister to us accordingly. But today, we're going to talk about how we can prepare for Pentecost. I want to be ready. If God has a promise for me, I want to be ready to fully receive that promise. And there's some things that we can do. So do you have John chapter 16 open? If you got it, say, I've got it. We're going to look at verses 4 through 7, and then we'll drop down to verse 12. It says this in verse 4, I have told you these things so that when the time comes, you may remember that I have told you about them. I did not tell you these things at the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asked me where you are. None of you asked me where you are. Rather, sorrow has filled your heart because I have told you these things. So in other words, they felt a sense of sorrow because Jesus was telling them that he was no longer going to be with them. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the counselor, your Bible might say the comforter or the helper. But in other words, the Holy Spirit will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Verse 12 says, I have yet many things to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, someone say, the Spirit of truth. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but he will speak whatever he hears. And he will tell you the things that are to come. The Holy Spirit of truth, listen, church, will tell you of the things that are to come. It says in verse 14, he will glorify me, for he will receive from me and will declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and will declare it to you. Look what the Holy Spirit does. And so we're going to talk just a tiny bit about what is Pentecost Sunday. You know, some people, depending on what their upbringing was and their background, they may know exactly what Pentecost Sunday is, but many do not. Pentecost Sunday marks the day that the Holy Spirit descended upon the church. That Spirit of promise, that counselor, that helper, that teacher, and oh, the Holy Spirit has so many names and roles that he plays in our life, but that promise that the Holy Spirit would come. So it marks the day that the Holy Spirit descended upon the church. Jesus kept his promise. It means 50. The word Pentecost means 50, and it occurs 50 days after Easter. So next Sunday is exactly 50 days after Easter. It is the birth of the New Testament church. Again, it is not simply a name of a denomination, and it's not simply a faith style that some practice. Okay? It is very, very important to us. It is the fulfillment of divine promise. Pentecost Sunday signifies that there was a fulfillment of divine promise. Again, Jesus kept his promise, and the Father always keeps all of his promises. Number 5, Pentecost brought accelerated effectiveness. I like those two words together. Say it with me, accelerated effectiveness. Say it after me. Accelerated effectiveness. Okay, with me, after me, but we got it out. All right. So Pentecost brought accelerated effectiveness. Do you guys understand that before Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost, he was actually a coward? He was a coward. And you know, we know he denied Christ 3 times. You know, he was a coward. He was afraid. He had the fear of man on him in a huge way. But after Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, after Peter was filled, the Bible tells us that he preaches a sermon, and it says that they gladly received the word that day, and they were baptized by the thousands, you guys. By the thousands, why does so many of the church ignore Pentecost Sunday? When it could mean to us that we could experience accelerated effectiveness, right? In the Jewish culture, Pentecost Sunday, or Pentecost, is a celebration of the giving of the Ten Commandments or the law. Pentecost itself is widely symbolized by fire, and fire reminds a whole lot of us of revival. Someone say revival. There's not going to be a revival without the infilling and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You could forget about revival if you don't believe in the power and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And so what should Pentecost mean to us today? First of all, it should help us to recall the methods of God's choosing for winning the world. Listen, God's method for winning the lost is love and power. Say those two words together, love and power. That's still God's method. And you know, we used to say that it's the message that is sacred, not the method. And I understand that statement, that there can be many different ways that we use, creative ways that we use to win the lost. But we cannot afford to forget God's pure method of love and power to win the world. Amen. And so Jesus, you know, God the Father so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And guess what? His Son so loved everybody he encountered, and he loved them so much that when they were hurting in whatever way, his heart was moved with compassion. But see, his heart was moved with compassion, but his spirit was moved to action. Many of us, we see someone who is hurting and we have compassion on them, but we don't get to that point of where we are moved to respond with some action. So we feel for them, but we never do anything for them. It's just getting started. Okay? So secondly, what should Pentecost mean to us? It should help us to have a greater resolve to align ourselves to the church as it is presented in the book of Acts. Do you know the book of Acts tells us that with great power they gave witness to the resurrection? So they didn't just, you know, in secret tell a couple people, you know, Jesus was raised from the dead. No, they went around broadcasting, and with great power they gave witness to the resurrection. Do you know the resurrection is the greatest miracle ever? Listen, someone, Jesus, was dead, and he's alive forevermore. That's the greatest miracle. Now, I believe that they gave witness with great power to the resurrection because everything after that was a piece of cake. If God can raise the dead, then he can heal the paralyzed. He can give sight to the blind. He can unstop deaf ears, whatever it is. Everything after that is just a piece of cake. And not for God, because God can do anything, amen, very, very easily. But to us, our faith level, if we could dare to believe and then give witness to the resurrection, everything after that, oh, yeah, it's on. It's just so on, because I believe in the power. And listen, let's not save the resurrection for Easter Sunday. The witness of the resurrection should be going on at all times. And so Pentecost should give us a greater resolve to align ourselves to the church as it is presented in the book of Acts, right? Because you know what? A religious experience, it has never been. It is not now, and it never, ever will be enough. And sadly, the church today is settling for just a religious experience. I don't want to have just a religious experience. I want to encounter the King of Kings. And Pastor Tommy has a great conviction of this because he put it right over the doorway as you come into the sanctuary. Every assembly is an encounter. So that is saying that it's not enough for us to just have a religious experience. So see, Pentecost is about a corporate empowerment, not a personal and private little moment of inspiration. Now, a lot of believers, they come to church and they're satisfied with if there's just a little nugget, a little something that would inspire them and make them feel good about themselves. Well, that's okay, but I don't want to live just an okay life before the Lord. I want to have everything that he has promised me. And I'm not talking about material things. I'm talking about spiritual power right now. I want to know that I can actually have and operate in everything that God has promised to me. And so what Pentecost is a corporate empowerment that can and will affect actually every area of your life if you let it. A corporate empowerment. And so a corporate empowerment can affect your life at every level. And when this begins to happen, and I'll just say this in way of a testimony, and my boast is in the Lord. I'm not bragging on myself when I say this, and I'm not bragging on my family when I say this, but we are like first-generation, spirit-filled believers. And so, you know, we were saved, we were born again in a spirit-filled church during a revival. And so we experience this corporate empowerment on a very, very consistent basis. And you know what? I remember that my first 5 years as a Christian, you could actually count on one hand the times that I missed church. I didn't miss church for anything. And again, my boast is in the Lord, because the corporate empowerment affected every area in my life. And because my everyday life was affected by what happened at church, I could never wait to just get back to church. In fact, I came up with reasons to go to church. You know, I just came up with excuses. I got to get to church. Well, they're praying today. They're having Bible study today. They're giving food away today. They're just gathering to go. Well, out witnessing today. Remember, Pastor Robert, we came up with excuses to get back to the house of God. It wasn't enough to just go on Sunday. Why? Because that was the place where there was corporate empowerment, and it changed our lives. And see, today, a lot of people are resisting a move of God in the corporate atmosphere because they don't realize your life could actually be changed as a result. Pentecost should help us to reclaim more of a kingdom mindset. You know, I believe this, that God is delivering us from a churchianity mindset. That true Christians have a kingdom mindset, and Pentecost will help us to reclaim that kind of a thinking and paradigm, okay? And so the kingdom mindset is one of precise obedience. I want to obey the Lord precisely. I don't want to bring myself into the bondage of partial obedience. You guys have heard this. Partial obedience is what? Disobedience. And so Pentecost should help us reclaim this kingdom mindset, that we're going to have precise obedience and a passionate pursuit of God and an expectation, or I should say, with an expectation. So say these words after me. Obey. Pursue and expect. You know, even obeying God in forsaking not the assembling of yourself together. Many, many believers today, they're missing the opportunity to operate in the very spirit and power of God because they're disobeying God. And guess what? Many times our disobedience is simply based on what we feel like. Well, I don't feel like going to church today. Well, guess what? There's a whole lot of Sundays that I don't feel like coming to church, and Pastor Tommy don't feel like coming to church, but it's called walking in the Spirit. And when you walk in the Spirit, the Bible says that there's life and peace. There's so much life that you're going to go whether you feel like it or not, because you know that there's going to be benefit from going. Amen? So say it again. Say, obey, pursue, and expect. You didn't know you would come to church just to preach today, did you? All right. So it's a great time. Listen, church, this week, it's a great time. Today or any day this week, and I wouldn't put it off, it's a great, great week to repent for any disobedience and to make a commitment to avoid partial obedience. This is a great week to do that. It's a great time to decide to pursue God completely and unapologetically. What do I mean by that? In all things, pray, ask God. It blows my mind all the time, the things that I dare to ask God about, and He answers. It's not all church stuff, you guys. Okay? It's everyday stuff. And so we need to dedicate to pursue God completely and unapologetically. So I'm going to ask God, talk to God about everything. I'm going to pursue Him above all else. And I am going to pursue Him unapologetically. Listen, I'm going to give God the loudest praise, the greatest praise. I'm going to go deep in worship. And it doesn't matter to me what you think about it. And listen, you haven't been where I have been personally. I haven't been where you've been. But see, my praise to God is not just about where I've come from or what he's gotten me out of. My praise to God, it's radical because it's about where he's taking me. And church, he's taking us to a glorious place in Jesus' name. And so Pentecost to us, it really, really reminds us that for many of us, it's time to hit the reset button. Okay? It's like I'm saying it's time to hit the button, but it's really not about hitting a button. It's about re-engaging your faith. And so hit the reset. Listen. What is a reset? A reset means that you're just adjusting after an initial failure. Now, we might have some spiritual failures. We have to be reminded that that doesn't mean that we are failures. So we might fail, but we don't take on the identity of a spiritual failure. Why? Because the Bible says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. So just, you know, hit reset. And again, it's not about a button you push. It's about making a commitment. God, I'm going to re-engage my faith. So this week of getting ready for Pentecost is a really, really good time to do that. I'm going to have you say something after me. Get ready to say this. I will prepare for Pentecost by recalling God's methods, by coming into alignment, by cultivating a kingdom mindset, and reactivating my faith. So when Jesus came, he came to introduce the kingdom of God. In fact, he came to introduce a completely different culture to the world. And that culture or that kingdom that Jesus came to introduce was not one of hopelessness and despair, but it was one of dreams and true destiny. That's the kind of culture or kingdom Jesus came to introduce. He said, I've come that you would have life and have it more abundantly. Now, right before that, the statement goes that the thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. Right? Well, wherever the enemy is stealing, the thief is stealing, killing, and destroying, there's a lot of hopelessness and despair. But just because Jesus is in our life, guess what? We live in a culture of expectation. We live in a culture of dreams and true destiny. I'm trying to find my place. You're wondering what the pause is about. Secondly, he came to introduce the culture of the kingdom, which is an ever-increasing kingdom. And listen, many, even Christians today, they're fixated. The enemy has them fixated on the church's failures and the decline. You know, have you ever thought about that? Boy, it just seems like the church is shrieking. It just seems like the church is failing in so many ways. Listen, our younger people, they can run a list of ways that the church has failed them. Maybe the church, as governed by man, may have failed you in some respects. But Jesus came to introduce the ever-increasing kingdom of God. I said this. You can give God some praise. Go ahead, let's all do it. Give God some praise. I said this recently in a message that God is about to heal the paralyzed church so that we can catch up with an advancing kingdom. It is good. The Holy Ghost gave me that statement, Richard. And, you know, I just thought, you know what, God? The church is failing. The church, in some respects, is even declining. And the church has got some issues. Anybody want to say amen? Okay, we're admitting that we have some issues. And we're admitting our power shortages. right? But the kingdom of God is an ever-increasing kingdom. So guess what, church? God's doing a work even on this week of Pentecost, and he's getting us in the flow of the ever-increasing kingdom of God, regardless of our church failures. Amen. The kingdom, Jesus came to introduce the kingdom of righteous relationship, not one of hard rules and regulations. In the culture of the kingdom, you will find yourself, listen, out of relationship with the Father, you will find yourself hating what you used to love and loving what you used to hate. You know, I can remember when I first got saved, and, you know, I was no longer, there was a lot of things I was no longer doing. I was no longer cussing. I was no longer drinking. I was no longer, you know, dressing a certain way or whatever. I just didn't want to anymore. And my friends would say, well, you know what? I don't know why you have to do that. And I would say, I don't have to do that. Christ, it is for freedom that Christ has set me free, and I have the freedom of choice. I just don't want to do those things anymore. And it was born out of relationship with the Lord. It was not born out of some religious pressure that a church put on me. So you know what made a hippie a hippie? you know, the flower child, you know, the flower children, you know what made them a hippie? All right, some of you, you know what made them hippies? They wanted to dress the way they wanted to. They wanted to talk the way they wanted to. They wanted to wear whatever they want. They didn't want anyone to tell them no. Right? That's what made a and see, they were doing it in what they believed was the spirit of love and peace, right? And many of them took some wrong turns in the spirit of what they called love and peace, right? So the hippies were basically a very rebellious type of people. Right? But I was born again during the day where there were still a lot of hippies around, and I don't think I was a true hippie, but but maybe just a little bit, okay? But but the thing is during the Jesus movement, right, Pastor Robert, those hippies, all of a sudden, they might have still looked like hippies, but their language changed. And their desires changed. And after a while, God cleaned them up. He did, but it was born out of relationship. Amen? That's the kind of kingdom that Jesus came to introduce to us. And this kingdom is a culture that frees us from a lifestyle of worry. If you read Matthew chapter 6, basically it is telling us that you don't have to worry about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink and what you're going to wear. It says if you seek first the kingdom of God, then all of these things will be added to you. It's a wonderful thing. Now, I like to look nice, and I like to, you know, shop, and I like to eat good food and everything. But ultimately, what we've got to get to is this, that life is not all about what you eat and what you wear. The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And guess what? You can have those things no matter what you have to eat and what kind of clothing that you're wearing. Amen. So it's a culture that frees us from a lifestyle of worry. Some of us live a lifestyle of worry. We're professional worriers, okay? The kingdom is a culture of childlike faith, just childlike faith. You know, I was thinking of my grandson Daniel. When it's time to eat and it's time to cook something in the kitchen, he wants to come and help. Many of us, you know, neatniks, you know, moms and grandmas, we don't want the kids in the kitchen because they grab everything and they're so excited they can make a mess. Right? And we just want to get the food on the table. But I love to see the children come in the kitchen and go ahead and make a mess because the mess will clean up. Right? Listen, we are King's kids. And God doesn't mind if we get in the kitchen. And He's not trying to kick us out of the kitchen. He's actually trying to keep us in the kitchen. And so we need the childlike faith that says, Daddy, I need you to teach me. I need you to show me. Some of my greatest memories in life was when I was in the kitchen with my grandmother. Because it was there I was learning. And so the messy kitchen might be a great environment to learn the greatest lessons in life, not just how to cook, but just life itself. Does that make sense? And so we serve God in this kingdom that is a culture of childlike faith. And see, a child can be in the presence of the Lord without the pressure of trying to perform. So when, listen, and you can see how easily that religious spirit tries to get in with people. The disciples try to stop the children from coming to be, you know, to have Jesus lay his hand on them and praying. The disciples are trying to stop them. But Jesus said, let them come. Because such is the kingdom of God. So it's a culture of great potential. I'm running out of time, so you'll just have to look at it in the scripture. Mark 4 and verse 30 through 32 tells us as of that mustard seed that grows into that great tree. So listen, the kingdom has so much potential that the seed that the bird would eat becomes a tree that the bird takes rest under. That's how much potential is in the kingdom. It's a kingdom of balance. It's a balanced kingdom. It's a kingdom of humility and greatness. If you want to be great, then you have to be a servant. That's what the Bible says. If you know someone who is seeking to be great and you don't ever serve, I'm giving you permission right now. Don't trust them. Don't trust their leadership because the Bible says it in Jesus' name. So I want you to just, I want to leave you with this. How do you cultivate an environment of expectancy? One, you seek the Father secretly. With the faith and the expectation that He's going to reward us openly. Secondly, you forsake all to follow Him. You forsake all to follow Him. Now, I know most of us here, we're believers and we're following Jesus. But listen, I want to follow Him in what He is doing right now. And when I come into the house of God, Kimmy, you can come. I believe this, that God is about to take me on a journey with Him. God is about to take me on a journey. So number one, seek Him secretly. To see the power of His kingdom manifest corporately. Two, forsake all to follow Him. Three, enter into revelatory worship. What do I mean by that? We're not just singing songs to God. When we worship, we're worshiping God for who He is, but guess what? He knows who He is. When we worship God for who He is, what happens as a result is He releases revelation into our lives, fresh revelation of who He is, because we need to know, and also who we are in Him. Enter into revelatory worship, and then receive impartation. When Pastor Tommy comes and he preaches the word, that's a means of impartation. Romans 1 and verse 11 says, I long to see you. I'm looking forward to seeing you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you would be established. I'm going to leave four words with you today. Anticipate. I want you to begin to anticipate a move of God. Articulate. I want you to begin to speak by the spirit of faith. I believe, therefore I have spoken. The psalmist said, I believe to see the goodness of the Lord. In the land of the living. Activate. God wants to activate every gift that is on the inside of you. So many gifts are laying dormant, but they're about to be activated and then accelerate. You can stand. We're about to accelerate, church, because we're really going to accept the truth of Pentecost. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for those.